Welcome to Earth Matters here on Gila Members Community Radio, KURU 89.1 FM. I'm Donna Stevens, the Executive Director of the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance, and I'm your host for today's program. Today we're going to talk about mining and water quality issues in Grant County. The New Mexico Supreme Court heard oral arguments on September 28th in the appeal of the Copper Rule. Freeport Mac Moran, the owner and operator of the Chino, Tyrone, and Cobre mines, is having financial difficulties with significant implications for cleanup of its mine sites should the company default. We'll be talking about these issues and more with Allison Civic, my Earth Matters co-producer, and the executive director of the Gila Resources Information Project, or GRIP. Good morning, Allison.
Good morning, Donna.
So Grant County is home to three copper mines that are owned by Freeport Mac Moran, the Chino, Cobre, and Tyrone mines. Can you give us some background on these mines?
Sure. So Grant County actually has two of the nation's five largest open pit copper mines, the Chino and Tyrone mines. And we also have the Cobre mine, which currently is not operating, hasn't been operating since 1999. And these three copper mines are responsible for ongoing groundwater contamination, aquifer depletion, wildlife impacts, and impacts to riparian areas. And the aerial extent of groundwater contamination for these three mines covers 20,000 acres, and it's thousands of acre feet of contaminated groundwater under these three mines. And, you know, mining's been going on in this area for hundreds of years. The Chino mine, the Santa Rita del Cobre mine started operation and by the Spanish in early 1800s. So it's been going on for hundreds of years. Tyrone, originally underground mining, early part of the 20th century, but then started doing open pit mining in the late 60s. And then, of course, Cobre has been around since the early 20th century, too. And so mining certainly is a big part of what's happened in the economic activity here in Grant County. And why this area was originally settled by Europeans, first the Spanish and then, you know, Anglos coming here to Pinos Altos and then developing mining here later after that.
So your organization, Gila Resources Information Project, or GRIP for short, what is GRIP's role in mining issues here in Grant County?
GRIP formed in 1998. People in the community got together, Harry Brown, Sally Smith, Jesse Franklin Owens, Michael Berman, original board members of GRIP, because the state passed the Mining Act in 1993. And so all the mines in the state had to come into compliance with this new law. And so Sally, Harry, Jesse, and Michael, and others in the community really got together to form GRIP as a community watchdog to really oversee how the three mines, which at the time were owned by Phelps Dodge, how they would come into compliance with the Mining Act. So since that time, GRIP has been involved in overseeing or tracking how the three mines are complying with environmental regulations. So operational discharge permits for groundwater quality protection, also the Mining Act permitting that covers closure requirements for cleanup and reclamation, also financial assurance issues. So we're pretty intimately involved in all of the permitting activities at our Grant County mines. We're also, you know, have looked at the new mine over in Hillsboro, the Copper Flat mine. We also get involved in mining issues at the state level through the New Mexico Mining Act Network.
So there's some people who say that GRIP is an anti-mining group. What do you have to say about that?
I would say that we're certainly not anti-mining. you know, our program is called Responsible Mining. That's kind of how we view mining issues, is that mining for metals, copper, whatever metals, really, metals are a part of our modern society. We use metals in all of our technology. And so copper mining obviously is an important part of modern society. So it's a fact of life. It's something that we deal with. However, we need to make sure that mining is done in a responsible way. What do we mean by that? Well, we have state and federal laws that need to be complied with, and you know, that were put in place to make sure that mining is done in such a way that protects our groundwater, our surface water, our air quality, our wildlife habitat. So our mines here in Grant County, they've been around before environmental regulations were even existed. So that's a challenge. But the mines have been expanding over the years and are a source of ongoing environmental degradation. So, and the environmental laws, state and federal laws, are really there to ensure that mining gets done in a way that can really balance mining activities with environmental protection. And so our role really is to make sure that that's happening. And as I'm sure people can imagine, there's a lot of political pressure oftentimes put on regulators to be more lenient in enforcing those regulations. But it's really the job of community groups like GRIP and our colleagues up north, Amigos Bravos, and other community groups to really make sure that the laws are being complied with, that the public is really paying attention and commenting on permits, because, you know, really regulators have a lot of discretion in implementing these laws. So what we do is really try and educate our community about these permits and really help people understand how the mines operate, how the permits operate, what are some of the requirements, so that people are more informed that they can participate in these natural resource decision processes.
Yeah, I mean, laws are really only as good as the enforcement behind them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And also the staff as well, and the, you know, oftentimes there's budget cuts and staff get cut back, so these permitting processes take forever because, you know, there basically isn't enough staff to review and implement the permits too.
Okay. I wanted to talk to you about the copper rule. I mean, we already have pretty extensive groundwater contamination here in Grant County, which was caused by the mines. And this new copper rule could really make the situation worse. So can you tell us what this copper rule is?
Sure. The copper rule is a set of regulations that govern water pollution by copper mines in New Mexico. And it was a legislative mandate, actually, back in 2009. The legislature required the New Mexico Environment Department to come up with a set of regulations for copper mines and dairies. And the whole idea was, how do we streamline the groundwater quality regulations for industry, for dairies and copper mines, so that they have more certainty, so that they know exactly what they have to do, so you know, these permitting processes don't go on forever and ever. And so it sounded good in theory, and a copper rule advisory committee was formed, made up of technical folks from environmental organizations, as well as the Environment Department, as well as Freeport-McMoRan. So it was a very collaborative, cooperative process that went on for 8 months, and the group reached consensus, came up with a rule that it felt reflected best management practices in the industry. So that's what the rule consisted of when it came out of this Copper Rule Advisory Committee process. But then, unfortunately, attorneys for Freeport-McMoRan got a hold of the draft and changed a number of things. And so what ended up getting promulgated by the state in 2013 is a rule that allows for contamination of groundwater in areas at copper mines that are exempt from water quality standards. So the copper rule really is creating sacrifice zones at copper mine sites, groundwater sacrifice zones.
So you were part of the collaborative group that came up with the copper rule, and everybody agreed on it. You said there was a consensus. And then after that, the mine went and changed it?
Yes. Well, in conjunction with the New Mexico Environment Department, so the higher ups in the Environment Department. Yeah, so GRIP, we had our technical consultant, Jim Kuipers, Amigos Bravos was part of the process, the New Mexico Environmental Law Center, our council was part of the process. And yes, everybody reached consensus. There were things that, we weren't necessarily completely happy with, but consensus processes, you have to compromise on things. But for the most part, we all felt that what came out of that process was something that we could go forward with. And then what happened was the Freeport-McMoRan attorneys made a bunch of changes. And, we had access to the track changes version in Word. And we could compare, with what was ultimately accepted. And so what happened was, maybe there was one very minor thing that was not accepted, but all of the other changes were basically accepted in track changes. And that was not the Environment Department staff. It was, higher ups in management. So, really a political situation occurred. Mm-hmm. So the politics weighed in on things. And the bad part of it was complete manipulation and of the process, and really destroyed a whole lot of trust that had been built up in that collaborative process. So
yeah, I can imagine. Well, we're going to leave it there for right now, and we'll be right back after this short break to talk more about mining and water quality issues with Gila Resources Information Project, or GRIP, Executive Director Allison Civic. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to Earth Matters here on KURU 89.1 FM. This is Donna Stevens, Director of the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance, and your host for today's program. My guest is Allison Civic, the Executive Director of the Gila Resources Information Project, or GRIP, and we are talking about mining and water quality right here in Grant County. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about the new copper rule, which has come out in the last couple of years. And GRIP has appealed this rule. Can you tell us why?
Sure. So GRIP, along with Amigos Bravos, Bill Olson, the former Groundwater Quality Bureau chief, and Turner Ranch Properties, and the New Mexico Attorney General, Hector Balderas, we are all parties to an appeal of the copper rule. And the fundamental reason why we are appealing the copper rule is because we believe that the copper rule is illegal under the State Water Quality Act. The reason we have a Water Quality Act is to prevent pollution, prevent polluting industries from contaminating our groundwater supplies. And so that's a fundamental tenet of the Water Quality Act, is you must prevent pollution. But what the copper rule does, and the copper rule really is just a regulation under the Water Quality Act, what the copper rule does is exempts copper mines from water quality standards. So it basically says copper mines can pollute under mine sites and water quality standards don't apply. We believe that is completely contradictory to the purpose of the Water Quality Act. So that's the fundamental reason why we are appealing. And there are a whole number of other issues that the copper rule allows that we think are inconsistent with the Water Quality Act.
Well, why should mines get a pass, basically, on not polluting?
Right. Well, we don't think they should. I mean, copper mines in Grant County have complied with the Water Quality Act without the copper rule for nearly 40 years. and they have been able to operate in Grant County without the copper rule. And, you know, a lot of people say, oh, well, it's environmental regulation that, you know, is hurting the industry. Well, people need to understand that really what drives the copper industry is global copper prices. Certainly, environmental regulations, labor, oil and gas prices, all these things factor into the cost of producing copper, certainly. But really what is driving whether the mines stay open or not are global copper prices, global demand for copper, global supplies for copper, and the interaction between those in terms of prices. And can the mines produce copper in which they'll make a profit based on global copper prices? So that's really kind of what drives things. But yeah, copper mines should not get a pass. I mean, that's actually one of our concerns is, you know, you start opening the door to copper mines, then other industries are going to say, hey, well, if copper mines get a pass mm-hmm. from not having to comply with groundwater quality standards, well, we don't want to have to either. Why are they getting preferential treatment? So it starts a whole cascade of other industries requesting the same kind of treatment.
So the copper rule is really going backwards in a way, because you said for the last 40 years they have been complying with laws that say they can't pollute groundwater.
That's exactly right. So the copper rule is going backwards. So that's a fundamental thing for people to understand, is that what happened was the Martinez administration, through the copper rule, rolled back water quality safeguards for New Mexico's groundwater at copper mine sites. So it's a rollback. And what we want is to go back to the situation before the copper rule. And mm-hmm. that is that groundwater needs to be protected and we need to prevent pollution.
And obviously they were Freeport-McMoRan, well, I guess it was Phelps Dodge back then. They were still making money because they were still in business. I mean, there is a certain amount of boom and bust kind of involved with the copper industry anyway, but they were still there making a profit.
Sure, sure. I mean, Freeport-McMoRan and its predecessor, Phelps Dodge, have made hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars in profits from Grant County mines. But yet the public, because remember, this groundwater belongs to the public. Groundwater belongs to all New Mexicans. So Freeport-McMoRan has a right to use the water, but they have to follow rules under which they can use this water, right? And under the Water Quality Act, one of the rules is you must prevent pollution. Although, you know, now we have the copper rule that basically says they don't need to.
Right.
So,
wow. So what is the status of this appeal that's been filed recently?
So the status is we appealed the copper rule in 2013, appealed to the Water Quality Control Commission, which was sort of the first level of appeal. They upheld the rule. We then appealed to the Court of Appeals. They upheld the copper rule. And we have appealed to the New Mexico Supreme Court. So on September 28th, the New Mexico Supreme Court heard oral arguments. And we expect a decision at some point here, but we don't know when. So we're close, we think, to a decision, but we don't know when that will happen.
So what are the implications for our groundwater, which is also our drinking water, right? If
right.
the copper rule is upheld by the New Mexico Supreme Court.
Yeah, that's right. So Grant County residents rely 100% on groundwater. And statewide, 9 out of 10 New Mexicans rely on groundwater for their drinking water. So groundwater is an important part of our future water security. So it doesn't make sense to give industries a pass and allow them to pollute our precious groundwater resources. So specifically, what happens if the copper rule is upheld? Well, we have creation of these groundwater sacrifice zones. So we'll have the mine sites here in Grant County will not have to clean up groundwater underneath the mine site. So we'll have permanent contaminated groundwater plumes underneath the mine sites. The copper rule basically allows our mines to contain pollution. They're being allowed to pollute under the mine site if they contain pollution. So this pollution is going to be there forever, and the mines are going to have to operate interceptor wells, containment systems to make sure that the groundwater contamination does not migrate off the mine site. And we know that it will be very hard to operate and maintain these containment zones for in perpetuity. They will have to be operated in perpetuity, hundreds and hundreds of years. So the more we allow the mines to contaminate groundwater, keep adding contamination at the mine site, that's more that you have to manage, more pollution that you have to manage through these containment systems. And then if the containment systems fail in the future, which we expect is going to happen, just a matter mm-hmm. of when,
right.
that's more pollution that basically migrates off-site and contaminates groundwater resources. So, you know, what we're talking about here is really protecting our water supplies for future generations, right? We have a responsibility and an obligation to our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, to ensure that they have a clean, secure water supply in the future. And the copper rule does not do that. It just is allowing copper mine operators to just keep adding to the problem. And, you know, we already have a problem. Like I said, we have huge contaminated plumes. Chino's groundwater contaminated plume extends nearly 14,000 acres. It's thousands of acre feet under these mine sites are already contaminated. And what the copper rule says is under the mine sites, you don't even have to abate. So alternative abatement standards aren't going to apply. So it's a huge concern.
So right now, the state of New Mexico has one of the best mining acts in the country, which mandates reclamation of mine sites to a self-sustaining ecosystem once mining ceases. And it also requires that there's financial assurance to cover cleanup costs, such as what you're talking about, in case a mining company goes out of business. And mining companies go out of business all the time, right? So how did the Freeport Mines comply with the Mining Act?
Yeah, so one thing I'll just sort of explain to start off with is, so the copper rule is under the New Mexico Environment Department jurisdiction. So it's under the Water Quality Act.
Okay.
And so the Mining Act is a law that is under the authority of the Mining and Minerals Division, which is part of Energy, Minerals, and Natural Resources Department. So these two agencies sort of have to work together to regulate mines in terms of how they operate and how they clean up. So the Mining Act, as you said, yes, it's one of the best mining acts in the country in terms of being protective of the environment. And so Freeport-McMoRan has to submit operating plans and closure closeout plans that really outline how the site is going to be cleaned up and reclaimed. And the closure closeout plans, they really overlap between the Environment Department and Mining and Minerals. They have to come up with a cost estimate for how the mine is going to clean up and how it's going to protect groundwater when the mine ceases operation. So these plans kind of closure closeout plan is serving both functions. And the cost estimate has to be covered by financial assurance. So we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars in reclamation cleanup cost, over $500 million estimated back in 2003. And the company has to put up financial assurance to cover the cleanup costs should it go bankrupt.
Let's talk about that some more after we come back from this short break. So please stay with us. Welcome back to Earth Matters here on KURU 89.1 FM. This is Donna Stevens, the director of the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance, and your host for today's program. My guest is Allison Civic, the Executive Director of the Gila Resources Information Project, or GRIP, and we are talking about mining and water quality here in Grant County. Right before the break, Allison, you were talking about closure, closeout plans. Can you explain what that means, please?
Yeah, so these are plans that are developed for each of the three mines here in Grant County. Well, all mines have to develop these closure closeout plans, but really outlines how the mine site, once it ceases operation, once it closes, closes down, how the mine site will be cleaned up and reclaimed. Okay, so things like regrading stockpiles or waste rock piles, covering the rock piles with cover material and revegetating. So a lot of reclamation work has already been done by Freeport, McMoRan at Chino and Tyrone under, an accelerated reclamation schedule, which actually came about because of a lawsuit from GRIP, because there were all these areas of the mine that weren't being used and would never be used again, but yet were causing water quality and wildlife impacts. So so the company agreed to accelerated reclamation over a 10-year period. So people have probably seen a lot of the activity that has happened, like at Tyrone, a lot of the reclamation, the Mongoose tailings piles have been reclaimed. Mm-hmm. The 1C stockpile that was right next to Highway 90 that was unfortunately built on top of a drainage area, Oak Grove Wash, and contributed pollution 2 miles down Oak Grove Wash. They Freeport removed all of that material and reclaimed the side slopes there. So really, that's what happens in closure closeout plans. How is the company going to reclaim the mine site and reclaim it to, if the post-mining land use is wildlife habitat, then, you know, how will the mine site be restored to a self-sustaining ecosystem? So these plans kind of lay that all out.
What is the purpose of the financial assurance under the New Mexico Mining Act, and how does this really work for the Chino, Tyrone, and Cobre mines?
So, as you can imagine, these reclamation plans, the reclamation work laid out in the closure closeout plans, is, you know, it costs a fair amount. So in the case of the three mines here in Grant County, the estimate was somewhere over $500 million. And, you know, that was based on a compromise between GRIP's estimate was about $1.3 billion. Phelps Dodge at the time, their estimate was $100 million. And so the regulators decided, you know, it was going to cost somewhere a bit over $500 million. And so what the Mining Act requires is that financial assurance be secured to cover the cost of reclamation. So if you want to operate a mine in New Mexico, you have to guarantee to the state of New Mexico that you have sufficient financial assurance to cover the cost of cleanup should your company default. And so the Mining Act allows operators to post financial assurance in the form of cash or cash trust, surety bonds, letters of credit, could be collateral, could be insurance. It also could be third-party guarantees. And what this means is some third-party company says, we guarantee that we will cover the cost of reclamation should the operator go bankrupt. And so the Mining Act says that the third-party guarantees can't be any more than 75% of the reclamation cost. So that's in the Act. So our three mines have had actually much, less than 70% in the form of a third-party guarantee. And unfortunately, the third-party guarantee has been really a corporate guarantee, which is really bad news because the corporation, is essentially the parent company of, the subsidiaries that are operating the mines. So, it's the same forces that would perhaps put a mine out of business would also put the parent company out of business. So it's not really a third party, even though right. The state has interpreted it that way. But the good news is that our three mines have also put a lot of cash up in the form of a cash trust. So back in 2003, 2004, a cash trust was established for the three mines. That money has basically been invested and has earned interest over the last decade plus. And so there's a lot of money now in the cash trust to cover reclamation costs. Also, Tyrone and Cobre have collateral as part of their financial assurance. So Freeport has a lot of ranches in southwestern New Mexico that they're using as collateral. So should they go bankrupt, the state would be responsible for selling off those ranches, using the money from the sale of the ranches to go towards cleanup of the mines.
So it's my understanding that Freeport-McMoRan has been in some financial trouble this year. So what are the implications of that for our environment here in Grant County?
Yeah, so unfortunately, Freeport, Moody's downgraded the corporation, Freeport-McMoRan Incorporated, to junk bonds status in early January of this year, and S&P just downgraded them to junk bond status in the last week or so. So a lot of their financial situation has come up. It's sort of been, I hate to use this term, but the perfect storm, because it's not really a positive thing. But, the corporation bought oil and gas interests that put them in debt about $20 billion. So combined with low oil and gas prices and low copper prices, the company's balance sheet has been deteriorating. And so, they're under a very strict cost-cutting plan for all of their operations, and trying to sell off assets as well to try and fix their financial situation. But unfortunately, what this means is they no longer, the corporation, Freeport-McMoRan Incorporated, which I mentioned a little earlier, is the third-party guarantor for the financial assurance for the three mines. They no longer pass something called the financial soundness test, which is a test required under the state's Mining Act in order for the corporation to qualify as a third-party guarantor. They no longer pass that test. So what does that mean? They have to replace the third-party guarantee with other forms of financial assurance. And so that's what's been going on for the last 6 or 7 months. The company has all the interest now in the cash trust that has been earned over the last 10 years or so is now going to be used for reclamation. So that has basically what's happened is, if you look at all three mines, we had about $300 million in third-party guarantee. That's been reduced to about $104 million with through the cash trust. They're also increasing the value of some of the ranches that are being put up for collateral. So, really the financial situation of of Freeport-McMoRan, really puts the state and the public at risk, because if the company were to go bankrupt, given its, deteriorating financial situation, it still puts the state on the hook for $104 million in reclamation costs for cleanup. So, from GRIP's perspective, we certainly want to see a company that is healthy and can follow through on its environmental liabilities. We also want to see the third-party guarantee completely eliminated. Unfortunately, when a company gets in a bad situation like Freeport is in now, we can't, they're having a hard time coming up with cash. And so Now's not the time to be getting rid of the third party guarantee, right? Because it's hard to do that. When they're in good financial situation, that's when you want to get, we just shouldn't even allow for third party or corporate guarantees in the state, because it's just too risky. And given, we've been talking about this whole, conversation, significant environmental liabilities here in Grant County, and to, pass that off onto the state and the taxpayer. We all know the state's in a budget crunch right now. I mean, the state couldn't pick up $104 million in reclamation costs right now. I mean, the state's just been in a special session cutting budgets to just meet its needs. So really, it's the responsibility of the mining companies to cover their cleanup costs. And we should not be allowing for these third-party guarantees.
So what's the status of where that stands right now?
Yeah, well, the state's reviewing the current proposal now they've failed the financial soundness test three times now. Yeah. And so Freeport is coming back with proposals to try and, reduce that third party guarantee, because they no longer qualify. Freeport-McMoRan Incorporated no longer, the parent company no longer qualifies as a third party guarantor. So, the state has already approved the increase in the cash trust. So all that interest that's been earned, that's going to go towards reclamation and reduce down the amount of the third party guarantee. But it's still a lot. It's still about 30% of the reclamation cost.
Okay. Well, we'll be right back after this short break and talk more about mining and water quality issues with Allison Civic, the director of Gila Resources Information Project. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to Earth Matters here on KURU 89.1 FM. This is Donna Stevens, director of the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance, and your host for today's show. Joining me here in the studio is Allison Civic, the executive director of Gila Resources Information Project, or GRIP, and we have been talking about mining and water quality here in Grant County. So, Allison, I know that the New Mexico Environment Department is proposing some changes to the regulations that implement the state's Water Quality Act. Can you explain these changes? Will they protect water quality or not?
Yeah. Well, sort of out of the blue, the Environment Department proposed some changes to the Water Quality Act. And in our opinion, these changes really are being made, or the result of these changes would be to weaken water quality safeguards, really for the benefit of polluting industries. And also, the intent seems to be to limit opportunities for public participation in permitting processes. And I have to say that, one of our colleagues at the New Mexico Environmental Law Center filed an Inspection of Public Records Act request with the Environment Department and found out that the New Mexico Environment Department staff had a meeting back in November of 2015 where they developed a hit list for regulation changes. And this hit list really, you know, has things on it like, you know, following the copper rule. Let's remove the 5-year period of approval for variances and make the life of the facility, make the variance or the life of the facility upon approval by the department. I mean, things like this that, you know, really, we've just had a long discussion about the copper rule. But so looks like, as, you know, we suspected that, you know, the copper rule was just going to pave the way for more rollbacks. So the Environment Department is soliciting a second round of public input on these changes. Another example, let's roll back the water quality standard for chromium, a metal, not a good thing to have in your water. And despite public comments to the contrary, sort of opposing the idea of eliminating the period of variance from 5 years, just making it for the life of the facility. A lot of public comments opposing that. They have continued to keep that requirement, which is something that came out of the copper rule, keep that in these proposed changes. So, you know, people have an opportunity to comment on these changes. The public comments are due October 17th. If people want more information on this, they can go to the GRIP website, gilaresources.info, and get more information and find out how to comment. But again, you know, these are all things that are making it easier for industry to pollute the public's groundwater and also eliminate the public's voice in these decisions. So,
well, that's pretty discouraging news that the Environment Department, which is supposed to be protecting us, is, well, not.
Yeah, it's very disappointing.
So, again, people can go to Gila Resources.
GilaResources.info.
Okay.
So go to our website and you can find out more about the particulars on these proposed rule changes.
Okay. Well, in these few minutes that we have left in today's show, Allison, I wanted to ask you about another opportunity for public input. And this is a public hearing that's coming up on a permit application for a new unit at the Chino Mine. Can you tell us more about what Freeport-McMoRan wants to do there?
Yeah, that's right. Freeport-McMoRan is proposing a new waste rock stockpile that will be constructed contiguous to the existing Lamprecht leach stockpile. So for those of you who drive on 152 between the mining district and the Mimbres, you pass this big giant leach stockpile. It kind of wraps around the Kneeling Nun. So this new waste rock stockpile would be constructed right adjacent to that and come right up really to Highway 152. So, you know, we're very concerned this material that will be deposited there is acid-generating material, so it has the potential to leach metals into our groundwater. Because of the copper rule, you know, this new stockpile, they don't need to install a liner underneath the stockpile to prevent contaminants from entering groundwater. So that's a concern, is just the potential for groundwater contamination from this new waste rock stockpile.
So when and where is this hearing?
Yeah, the hearing is Thursday, October 27th at 5:30. It's going to be held at the Grant County Administration Building, and people can get more information, again, on the GRIP website at healerresources.info. If you're interested in finding out more, there's a link to the application with lots of maps of people. You know, this the folks who are in sort of Santa Rita, that little settlement called Santa Rita, which is right next to 152. So those residences, you know, will be, you know, they're right there, pretty close to where this stockpile is going to go. And so yep, people can get more information, and please attend the hearing if you want to provide any input. Like I said, the hearing October 27th at 5:30 at the Grant County Administration Building.
Okay. So I wanted to go back to something we were talking about a little bit earlier, and that was about the Environment Department and the changes that they want to make to the Water Quality Act. And you were also saying that through the Inspection of Public Records Act request that you saw that the Environment Department has a so-called hit list. Well, when I looked at that hit list, there were a lot of acronyms and a lot of terms I didn't really understand. But it seems like the gist of the whole thing is to be a model to lessen regulations, to weaken regulations for other industries. So, like, what, for instance, would it apply to the dairy industry, or do we not know that yet?
Yeah, I think, you know, the dairies, they actually have their own set of regulations now under the Water Quality Act. So that's a good question in terms of, I'm not sure what the overlap is between these proposed changes and then, you know, the dairies, or whether or not any of these things would also affect dairies. But I suspect that these are things for other industries that aren't already covered by, say, the copper rule or the dairy rule. So, you know, and they're even looking at things like financial assurance rules. Look at other states for guidance, they say. So, you know, our financial assurance, even though it's not perfect, as we've just discussed, you know, we do have some good financial assurance rules. So I'm interested to see, you know, what we'll see if we have any new financial assurance rules coming out. I'm just looking at the list here, but I'd say that you know, some of the, and I don't have the list here in front of me in terms of, or the rule outlined here in front of me to some that really outlines the specific changes to in the language to the Water Quality Act. So if people are interested in that, we've got that and those links on our website.
Okay, so people can find out more about that.
Yeah. Exactly. But I guess just to summarize, I think that, you know, what they're proposing is more for other industries outside of dairy and copper, but to kind of, you know, it's really, you know, how to streamline things for them and make it easier for those industries. And they're actually, they say from their hit list that they're following the copper rule model. So,
And they actually call it a hit list,
yes,
too, don't they?
Yes, they actually call it a hit list.
Mm-hmm. Good thing you're not on it.
Yes. Thank you.
So, we just have a couple minutes left in the program here, and I wondered if you have any closing thoughts or anything we haven't talked about that we should talk about
right
at the end here.
Yeah. So, I just really want to remind people that, you know, mining really, you know, is a very important part of our economy here in Grant County. Contributes jobs, contributes to our economy here locally as well as at the state level. But I think it's important for everybody to remember that those economic benefits really should not come at the expense of our environment and our groundwater quality. And that's really what GRIP's role is to make sure that, you know, mining's a fact of life here in Grant County. We recognize the economic importance of copper mining here, but we also have to recognize that we have a responsibility to future generations to make sure that our groundwater is taken care of. And so I hope people can support that goal, because it's really important. We have laws that help us find that balance. And so we just have to make sure that those laws are properly enforced.
Well, I think that's a good ending point for today's show. Thank you, Allison, so much for being on the show today and talking about mining and water quality issues here in Grant County. This is something that affects all of us. Thank you to our audio engineer, Kyle Johnson. And if you'd like to hear a podcast of today's program, you can visit the Earth Matters program page online at gmcr.org. We hope you'll join us again next week for another edition of Earth Matters here on Gila Members Community Radio, 89.1 FM.